This is Tej. Where did Michael Novick go? Tej is our local station board chair. And yes, hold on a second. And this is Michael Novick, our treasurer. Yes, Rodrigo.
When are we going to go back to...
As soon as we finish these reports, we're going back to the programming agenda. The last thing, we're going to have to adjust the agenda, and we will not be adjourning before the Spanish Language Task Force, Rodrigo. We will not adjourn tonight before that, okay? Okay. Go ahead.
First, I wanted to say thank you to the ancestors of this land where Pacifica is broadcast from. And I did want to say good afternoon to the PNB. It's good evening now. And to the community, thank you for being here. I'm Thage Graywall, chairing the local station board of KPFK. I'm a staff member of KPFK as a producer with Didon on his program, Freedom Now. Didon, can you raise your hand? Didon Kamati. I am also an LA Unified School District teacher of secondary mathematics education. Thank you. And as an educator, I am proud to support Pacifica, its mission, and bring KPFK speakers to the high school and bring the students to visit the station and then to see mainstream media with Universal City right across the street. And so thank you to all the people who help us, Teddy, Fernando, Sue, Terry, and in the archives, Brian, Rosie, everybody, thank you. The responsibility to support the mission statement by attending the regular meetings and be able to conduct regular business as KPFK delegates has been very challenging this year. It has been difficult to conduct regular local station board business due to unquorumed meetings too often. The lack of quorum is unfortunate because in a state of surveillance, torture, terrorism, prison industrial complex, the military complex, too much CO2 emissions, war, human trafficking, elderly abuse, anti-immigration, and racism, in a time of drought, oil spills, environmental disasters, the heightening of policing, racial oppression, and the killing of youth. To be able to be here in quorum to model for the youth how to be a board in free speech radio. We all know that KPFK needs younger listening audience, to keep the station alive. And so as we need to serve our audience and community, making sure that we have these voices on the air, since we have a non-commercial educational license to broadcast, and I tell the students this, and I tell UTLA this, and we still cannot get a quorum from our board. I was hoping to conduct business because reaching out to the youth is key. Because without the future, what is Pacifica anyway and its mission? Then all of these meetings here won't have a purpose if the youth aren't able to listen, to see us model as a board, and also so they can listen to their own generation to feel a part of the Pacifica Free Speech Network. With elections coming up, and all 24 seats on the KPFK local station board are all up, 18 listener and 6 staff. I encourage people to run and support the candidates and to become a member of Pacifica if you are not, and so you are ready to vote. It is important that we are able to meet and conduct a quorumed meeting so that all public comments that are being heard by the whole board as we all sit here as their representatives. I look forward to making a quorumed meeting at our upcoming meeting on Wednesday, June 17th, here at the Peace Center at 7 p.m. We have committees that are meeting regularly. We have Reza Poor, who's convening the outreach committee. We have Dave Johnson from the CAB. We have John Wenger from the governance. We have from the finance committee. But it's difficult to be able to bring motions when we don't have a quorum. So also, I want to acknowledge everybody here who serves on this national board and all the local station boards who have been active in their communities while there are so many movements around the world as of today, and you can still make it here. So hopefully we can have quorum, and we have Michael's going to talk about the elections also. But the outreach committee passed a unanimous agreement, so we're hoping to bring it to the board, provided we have quorum. That was unanimously passed on June 11th by 15 members who were present. It reads, we, the outreach committee of the local station board of KPFK, in affirming Pacifica's mission statement to provide a voice for the voiceless, support the use of fee waivers for those who are financially and physically unable to support the station, such as the elderly, the disabled, and those who are incarcerated, whereby they complete the required application, which is submitted to the station and reviewed, and upon approval, become members of the station, having all the same rights as other station members. And I wanted to read that because it's being brought, needs to go to the governance committee. But since we haven't, I think we've been in session, we've had 5 meetings since January, and at least 2 on quorumed meetings already. 3. Okay, and so Michael's going to talk about the elections.
I just wanted to point out about that fee waiver form that the normal version of it has the Pacifica Mission on the back, and people who signed it acknowledge their support for the Pacifica Mission when they request the fee waiver because of their inability to pay or to serve volunteer hours. That's been the previous practice at KPFK. I won't take up too much of your time because I think you've heard a lot about the financial situation. I did pass out the last report that I did to the National Finance Committee and the local station board. That was through the April budget. You actually got the May figures in the handout that was sent from the national office, but I didn't have that until I got here today, and I only had a chance to look at it while I was collating it, so you could get it. I don't have a copy yet. But I think Brian earlier summed up the difference between the two. If you look at the figures and what I handed out, it basically shows you the first 7 months of the year through April. I wanted to point out a couple of things quickly that people have already said. Actually, through April, we were exceeding budget on listener support and other income. But I anticipated that was going to drop off in May because we did an emergency fund drive in April. That's why we were over budget, in a sense, on listener support. And we robbed that money from the May fund drive. So the May fund drive here ran through all of May and into June. With the problem that people have talked about, diminishing returns. I often volunteer in the phone room during the pledge drives, and the longer they go, the less you get per day, and it's fatal to the listenership of the station. So I just want to talk briefly about a couple of initiatives that we've tried to take. We have 3 or 4 motions that I put forward. It were passed by the Finance Committee, adopted by the local station board. A couple of years ago, we did have our first actual fundraising by the local station board. Tej and I and some of the other members were involved in a 2-part project. One was an International Women's Day event featuring women from a number of different struggles internationally and around the United States, and that was tied into a second round of the campaign, which was a Mother's Day card for peace. Quoting the original call for Mother's Day, which was from a woman opposed to the Franco-Prussian War and imperialism. And that was fairly successful. It raised, I think, maybe $1,500 for the station. The 2 other major initiatives that we took, one was a proposal that was adopted by the LSB to call for the management of the station to initiate a strategic planning process. And I know people talked about strategic planning here, but your discussion was mainly confined to governance. And our proposal was that it has to be management who leads strategic planning, and that process has to incorporate the staff, paid and unpaid, and the listeners, because that's who the station really is. And unfortunately, that has not yet been implemented. We took it to our last regular general manager, and then he left before it could be adopted. And the previous 2 interims both said, oh, yes, let's do it, and it never happened. So I think it really behooves the station to carry that forward going ahead very quickly. because, as Leslie said, there's a tremendous creative potential and capacity among the staff, but the staff has to have a sense of where that's leading and what their best efforts will contribute to, paid or unpaid, and how we're going to grow the station and how we're going to raise the funds to do the things the station needs to do. The second one was a motion to create a development task force, and that we did on the action of the local station board itself and convened several meetings, and one of the key proposals in that was that we raise money primarily from major donors and also try to get some grant writing expertise. But the purpose of the major donor campaigns were to increase our ability to raise funds off air, and it speaks to what Alan was saying earlier, because everybody recognized that we've gone to the same well too often and driven our listeners away with the on-air pitching. And so the idea was that we would ask major donors for seed money for things like legacy giving training. There was a proposal sent to the national board, I understand, the national office, that someone who was willing to provide that training to all five station boards and to the national board. My idea was we could probably raise the money at KPFK to pay for that for everyone and increase the capacity of the board to do something functional and positive with its time and engage people in actually raising money for the station. But that never materialized. I couldn't get it through the development task force and with the current management, the previous management. So I'm hopeful that that will see some fruition, because I think that it would be a tremendous contribution. The last one is, I have a motion pending, but as Tej says, we have not had a quorum for our local station board in about 3 months. And the last mission was for the local station board itself to set a financial goal of how much money it was going to raise and to identify the kind of training we needed and figure out how to get it to fulfill that goal. And fortunately, it hasn't come up for a vote because we haven't had a quorum. But I think all of those things are things that could be very effectively done very quickly that would kind of move the dialogue a little bit more towards the problem solving. I think, again, I support very strongly what Tasia said previously, what Leslie was talking about earlier, that the future of the station has to be. I want to say one other thing about the development task force. The Dave Johnson, who I think is still here, was the convener of our community advisory board and proposed to the development task force a series of steps that could be taken to increase the fulfillment rate on the pledges that do come in. And I think those steps should also be taken across the board. The other thing about the community advisory board that I have tried to see happen, and it still has not, the purpose of the community advisory board is to do a needs assessment. That doesn't mean the community advisory board evaluates the current programming by each show. It means the community advisory board is responsible for identifying what are the community needs, who are the communities out there, not necessarily listening now, that we could attract as listeners if we were meeting their needs. And I think that that is the future of Pacifica, is that we have to find those new audiences and those new communities that need to be served by the station. And if they are being served, they will support it. Thank you.
Yes, Janet Kay.
Thank you very much. Janet Coburn, KPFA. First time I remember to do that. Okay, so I understand that your LSB maintains numerous ongoing committees, subcommittees. I'd like to know more about how are they formed, how are they populated, how often do they meet, what authority do they have. But of them all, I'm most interested in the Finance Committee.
When I gave people the tour of the building the other day, I pointed out the big meeting table upstairs. I said, this is where the Finance Committee meets, and every meeting we have, the table is full and people are sitting in the aisle beyond it. The general rule that we've adopted, and I thought that was under the PNB guidelines, is that we have said that on any committee of the LSB, it's open to non-members of the LSB to the same number of people from the LSB that are on the committee. So if we have a committee with 10 LSB members who want to serve on it, we can also add 10 additional non-LSB members who serve as full members of the committee. In addition to which, the committee meetings are always open. They're publicized. We put it on the website. We announce it at the meetings of the local station board. We distribute it through email lists. And so people come, both staff members and listeners, and participate. And I think that's true for the other committees as well. The Outreach Committee, we've never had a limit on its membership because we see it as a working committee as opposed to a legislative type committee where it's going to come to a vote. So the Outreach Committee has always had many, many members. Governance follows the same rule. We have non-LSBM members on the committee. Program Oversight Committee has disappeared, unfortunately, this year.
May I follow up? The Finance Committee in particular?
Finance, yeah. What
authority does it have? Who, you know, how does it, if any?
The Finance Committee tries to get monthly the financials from the station. We had a great deal of difficulty all of last year because there was no business manager. The interim business manager was not being well supervised by the general manager. There were no accounts really being kept. But beginning early this year, they did hire a new interim business manager. We are getting monthly financials. We try to review them every month with the station management and the business office. We've had Efren has sent material, but Raul Salvador came to the station to try to help dig us out of the data hole we were in. I'm not sure what else you're looking for. Some of the motions I mentioned came through the Finance Committee as constructive measures we could take to improve the financial picture.
Pete?
Yeah, thanks for both of your reports. I was curious if the Finance Committee had any thoughts or recommendations for how to address the shortfall that we were presented with earlier.
Well, the National Finance Committee, when we approved the budget, it was already into the fiscal year. And within the first month, it was clear that the budget as approved was not going to fly. And so the local Finance Committee did urge a reconsideration of that budget. The National Finance Committee essentially sent a motion to the PNB approving it with the proviso that the management had to come up with a plan to cut $250,000. It's not the purview of the committee to do that. That is a management decision. So. But I would support, we did economize somewhat. I think if you compare the April figures and the May, you'll see, as Brian said, that the over budget expenses were somewhat reduced between April and between March and April. April was really excessive again, going over budget. Between April and May, it was not so far of a budget. That reflects two things. One is the local station board. I will say this. From the beginning, the KPFA local station board, without regard to faction, unanimously disapproved the idea of the call center, which you saw as very, very expensive and destructive of the volunteer base of the station. The management refused to listen to us and implemented it at great cost. So a tremendous $40,000 or $50,000 at least, and the bills are still coming in, has been eliminated finally. We are back to using volunteers in the phone room with computers. That's been a big help. We have succeeded in reducing some of the premium costs. I think that would be another place to make great economies because it's over $600,000 spent on fulfillment of premiums and also waste a tremendous amount of staff time. I mean, we talked about the membership department, but the membership department is overwhelmed by just ordering, fulfilling, packing, shipping premiums. It's madness. So I think that the staff would be well served by reducing premium-dependent fundraising, and it would free up their time to do much more creative things about attracting and servicing the listeners and the customers or the donors better.
Thank you.
Thank you. Jim? Oh, you didn't raise your hand? Oh, I thought Pete had said, okay. Oh, it was Benito?
Well, I thought Jim did,
no.
But...
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay. Oh, that was it? Okay, so then... Did you want to be on the stack?
Okay. People
who haven't spoken. Okay. Then speak, and then Janet Kay. I mean, we're all over time, so we're not trying to prolong it.
So
$11 a minute, remember? Okay.
If we go longer, our rate drops.
Okay. Go ahead, Benito.
So. My name, again, is Benito from PFW in D.C., and I'm trying to figure out why some people have this big problem or concern, let's say, with Spanish-speaking programming or bilingual programming. We'll call it what you want to call it. And so I'd like to ask the two of you, Tej and Michael, the same question I asked of the staff a few minutes ago. What kind of explanation do you have for why some folks are up in arms? And it seems to me that if Pacifica and KPFK is about social justice, then why should anybody have a problem with serving the needs of the majority population? I can't get that through my head. I don't understand.
I agree. I speak Spanish myself, and all of my students speak Spanish. And I have no understanding. I hear different reasons, and the reasons that people share with me, there's always solutions. And the solutions are that there should be programming to continue to educate them about the majority of the community here in Los Angeles. And so, from what I see, it should be there. And so I don't understand either.
Okay. I'll give you a quick answer. I think it's related to fear and xenophobia. There is a very, very intense movement in this society for English only. Tej and I are both, actually, I'm a retired teacher of Hillel Unified. She is a current teacher. There was a faction within the United Teachers Los Angeles, the teachers union, that was opposed to bilingual education, got funding from the Pioneer Foundation, which is an anti-immigrant, pro-eugenics organization, backing a faction within the teachers union to oppose bilingual education. So I think it's just a phenomenon in the society that we have to stand against and oppose.
Adriana.
Yes. Thank you. Adriana Casney, KPFT, Houston. I was impressed today with the amount of public that we have and how passionate people is. This shows how we are, what Pacifica is. With the good and bad, but I didn't see yesterday when we went to the station, was the attitude was really good, cordial. People talked to each other. I didn't see any conflict, but I saw today all of that. How is your experience? You have the same animosity when you have your meetings?
Yeah, absent a quorum, we have very collaborative and cooperative and interesting meetings and discussions, but we can't get the work done because we don't have a quorum. Okay. You saw some of the obstructionism today in operation.
Yeah, okay. Rodrigo and then Janet Coburn.
Yeah, just in regards to what Benito was saying, I want to tell you something, you know, that I think illustrates, you know, what's behind. There was someone from the board who was complaining we did represent nobody. But at a certain fund drive, we got a lot of people of our community. And then the same person said, that's not fair, Rodrigo. How come you had so many people up here of your community, and at this radio station, we got only maybe 30 people? I said, well, what do you mean? He said, that's not fair. What about you bring 1 million people? Is that going to be fair for the 30 people that are working here? That's what illustrates, you know, the way of thinking, right? It's not fair that we are too many.
Okay. Okay, thank you both so much. Oh, I'm sorry, Janet Coburn. She was on the...
Yeah, ahead. All right, thank you. Okay, so would you tell us what your budget process is? How do you come up with your budget from producing the actual budget? Who participates in it, and then the approval process?
Honestly, the budget process is broken down. the last several years. We don't get the data. We haven't gotten the data. I think we're hopeful that for this coming year we finally have enough data for last year to begin to project. But we're still waiting for a template from the National Office for developing the projection for fiscal year 2016. And I understood that when Raul was here, he had given the previous interim general manager, business manager, a template for correcting the budget through the end of this fiscal year, but nothing ever happened with it that I'm aware of. I never saw it.
What role does the Finance Committee play in the budget process?
We've tried to lead a discussion within the local station board, and we've had 2 years in a row brainstorming sessions with the staff and listeners about identifying budget priorities. For example, the local station board many years ago and repeatedly has identified restoring local news as a top budget priority, but it's never been carried out. Really for the coming year, our budget priority is to balance the budget because we can't afford to go another year without.
I'll just chime in that we've had different bright spots. At least when I was on the LSB a few years ago, and we would have, for example, in fact, Efren was our business manager at the time, so he is a master at his spreadsheets, and he would have a presentation. And he would just click on every little cell. You could get right down to the last postage stamp. It was amazing. We always used to have a direct participation at the LSB meetings explaining the entire budget to us in addition to the treasurer. At one point also LaVarne came down, for example, who was our CFO. So she participated along with our business manager, our treasurer, and whatever. And on those occasions, we were able to pass a budget. We were unable to do so this year as such. Adriana and Serene?
No, are we done?
Yes, we're done. Okay. Thank you. Thank you both very much.
Thank you. And thank you, John Gary.
Okay, so...